Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to episode 71 of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me this week for our special draft preview edition are Alex Nelson and Steve Sippa. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
How's it going?
So this is our draft preview. We're not talking about the Mets this week. They were actually good. Granted, it was because they were playing the Phillies, who are... And I say this as a person, and if you listened to our podcast last week when I talked with Liz Rocher about the Phillies, they make the Mets look like a tiny dumpster fire. Still a dumpster fire, but a tiny dumpster fire. This is like the full-on Simpson-Springfield tire fire, that team. So I don't know how much to take from that. They have the Cubs this week, starting a three-game series tonight on Tuesday as we record. It's very possible they'll go into the weekend at 500 or above. What does that mean? I don't know. We'll talk about it next week, because this week is the draft preview. Thursday night is our MLB Rule 4 draft, or first-year player draft, if you prefer. And since it is episode 71, we are titling the episode, This Year the Mets Don't Have the 71st Pick in the Draft. Now, that might be a silly title, but the last 2 years they have had the 71st pick in the draft, so it's slightly unusual. They picked Matt Reynolds last year and Corey Mazzoni the year before that. They also had it in 1970. They picked Michael Graham, an outfielder out of John J. Pershing College, who had eight guys selected from 1969 to 1971. Quite the powerhouse. You can tell I went down a baseball reference rabbit hole while I was prepping this podcast. Only one of them actually made the majors. Buddy Hunter played parts of three seasons with the Red Sox as an infielder. And retired with a career 890 OPS, which is higher than Carl Yastrzemski. Granted, it was in 24 plate appearances, but that's something he can hang his hat on. There are actually some pretty good 71st picks. Ken Caminiti, probably the best. Floyd Bannister went 71st, didn't sign, of course, and would later go 1-1. A.J. Pierzynski, Danny Tartable, Justin Masterson, and Jerry DePoto, for Mets fans, also went 71 in the MLB draft. I don't know who will go 71 this year. Since the Mets don't have that pick, we're not really going to talk about it. They do pick 10th, and we'll get to who the likely selections will be in that range later in the show, but as we did last year, we're going to kick things off with a draft review. I like to think it takes about 5 years to truly evaluate a draft class, or at least get an idea about it. So this year is the 2009 draft. I'm sorry. I have poured myself a large glass of bourbon on the rocks. I encourage you all to do the same. But we'll kick things off this week with the 2009 draft review. And I think we can just start by narrowing it down to who's actually left in the organization. And we'll start with the first 10 rounds. There's three players, since Robbie Shields, their third-round pick, just retired. You probably know the names. Steven Matz, currently in St. Lucie and pitching quite well, might see Binghamton after the first half break. Darryl Siciliani, the fourth-round pick that year, is also in Double-A, repeating the level. And a guy certainly close to my heart, Darren Gorski, who they selected in the eighth round that year, has made it back to AAA, had his first start in Vegas earlier, or actually end of last week, and it went better than his last trip to Vegas in 2013. Guys, this was not a good draft.
No, it certainly wasn't. It was a mess before it even started.
Losing on the last day of the season, not going to the playoffs, definitely hurt us in that regard. Not a good place to wind up with your draft pick. And we kind of punted that.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know, the Mets did not have a first-round pick that year. They had to give it up as compensation under the old system for the offseason signing of K-Rod, who I'm sure we all remember fondly. And the Angels used that pick to take Randall Grichuk, who's currently with the Cardinals. And is a major leaguer, which is more than you can say of any player from the Mets' 2009 draft, other than David Buchanan, who they didn't sign.
Well, they certainly didn't sign him. In fact, they didn't even call him before after drafting him. So he just went about his business and went back to join I believe it was the Georgia State.
He was a JUCO guy, wasn't he?
He was a JUCO guy, but he had after completing his second year, he moved on to a four-year program.
Yeah. So just to give you up to speed on the other players in that in the first 10 rounds that we haven't mentioned already, Robbie Shields, their third-round pick, as I said, retired, I think, within the last month or so. He had been in St. Lucie for the last 4 years, it feels like. Their fifth-round pick, Damian Magnifico, didn't sign, is currently in the Brewers organization and can't throw strikes. David Buchanan, already previously mentioned, their sixth-round pick, a starter for the Phillies, which is not the same thing, we should be clear, as an actual major league starter. Gorsi was in the seventh round. I screwed that up. Catcher Taylor Freeman in round eight, spent 2 years in the system, never got out of A-ball. They drafted Jeff Glenn in round nine, still in the system, hasn't gotten out of A-ball. And in round 10, Nick Santamoro, right fielder out of Dartmouth. Didn't get out of A-ball.
I liked Santamoro a lot. I was kind of excited for him, but he just... I think he got injured pretty bad in his second year and just wasn't able to get back on track afterwards.
So, Alex, you were actually on the Amazing Avenue beat for this draft. And you
actually,
written...
I was on the Mets Geek beat.
Oh, the Mets Geek beat, taking it way back. And, of course, you've written extensively about Tarasas' time as a scouting director for the Amazing Avenue annual and others. What went wrong here?
Well, it never helps when you don't have a first-round pick, which Tarasas can't be blamed for, but it all factors in terms of the ineptitude of the entire office. But... really, there was almost a, I want to say after 2008, there was a conscious desire to take a couple of guys who were going to be tough signs, whether they could sign them or not. And I think that's where they really started to unravel here. They took Mats, who was a high schooler, and they went right to the last minute of the deadline with him, which isn't uncommon, but... they were able to get him signed, but they weren't able to get Damian Magnifico in the fifth round signed. They weren't able to get Buchanan signed, and although they were able to get another guy later on in the draft, Zach Dotson, who is, I believe, is out of baseball.
Yeah, I saw him last year in Kingsport. He may have been cut, maybe right after I saw him, because he gave up a home run at Hunter Wright, which you don't see that often. But I mean, he's had his injury issues, and he was, I believe, I remember, was he suspended for, was it performance enhancing or drug of abuse? I can't even remember.
I think it was performance enhancing. I think it was like a weight loss supplement.
Good job.
Yeah. Or, you know, ephedrine or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was, I mean, the Magnifico pick at five. And he did eventually become a first rounder or a supplemental round or something like that. But Magnifico, you know, he was a short kid coming out of a Texas high school. He had no control, bad mechanics. You know, most scouts figured he'd go somewhere between round 10 and 50, just for, you know, almost like sort of a mini draft and follow, because the draft and follow program at that time had mostly faded away. But, you know, you always take a chance on guys like that, because maybe by some miracle you could sign him cheap.
I mean, to be clear, he threw 100.
Yeah, I mean, real live arm. But he had no idea where he was going. He was a kid who just needed to go to college for 3 years so that scouts could have a better handle on what he was going to become. And there was a lot of head-scratching after he came off the board that early. But there was head-scratching after Siciliani went in the fourth round. Most people only had him, I would guess, closer to round 10. Gorski.